This is Paul Surovell, Secretary of the PNB Finance Committee, and in light of the fact that our chair has resigned, I'm calling the meeting to order. And I think our first order of business is to elect a chair pro tem. Are there any recommendations on how we should proceed?
Well, I recommend we open nominations, and I nominate Dave.
I second.
I'll nominate Carol.
I will decline.
Are there any further nominations? Well, do we need to vote, or can we?
No, I think it's.
So if you don't ask without objection,
can we accept Dave as chair without objection?
Chair pro tem.
Yes. Chair pro tem.
Chair pro tem of the PNB Finance Committee. Without objection. I hear no objections. So we'll turn the meeting over to you, Dave.
Okay, thanks. Do you have the agenda for today's meeting? Because that was formed last week, and I assume you have the minutes. So actually, if you could read what the agenda is. I don't have those documents.
All right. This is what I got off of one of Mark's emails. to go over the August numbers, to go over the updated fiscal year 05 consolidated numbers with the WBAI adjustments, to confirm the fiscal year 05 adjustments in board training and legal expense allocations, to review procedures adopted at the PNB meeting for budget review and interstation transfers.
Paul, you're looking at something different from what I'm looking at.
Me too.
I'm looking at new meeting date and agenda that Mark sent on October 15th. I have that in front of me.
Okay. I don't have that, so why don't
okay, before we do that, I'd just like you, Paul, if you could, to call the roll, because we haven't done that yet.
All right. Dave Adelson?
Here.
Henry Cooper?
Here.
Lonnie Hicks? Absent. Alice Shields?
Here.
Carol Spooner?
Here.
Paul Surovell is here. Warren Turner is absent. Sandy Weinman is absent. LaVarne Williams?
Here.
Simone Wyatt is absent. So we have 6 members present, which is a quorum.
So now as to agenda.
We got a revised agenda. At our last discussion, we said we were not going to go over August numbers. It's too far beyond past that. So here's the way it went in the agenda. Greetings, review, approve, 9:24 minutes first. Then second, CFO report, preliminary September numbers, which I don't believe we have received yet. Preliminary year-end analysis of fiscal trends and comments for the ending fiscal year just ended. Fiscal year 05 updates, special attention on board governance and election projections. Brief audit update, including projected costs. Third was policy discussion on unbudgeted, overbudgeted expense procedures in fiscal year 05. Four was WBAI 1 week fund drive actuals projections. Next was preliminary discussion on MIMSIS data incorporation in FY05 reporting. That was just getting us monthly reports on the fund drive. Next, direction on policy on interstation transfers. 7, new business, 8, adjourn. And he says, P.S., in preparation for this meeting, we either have already received or will receive by October 27th updated fiscal year 05 budgets, including the past WBAI budget passed at the PNB meeting. Preliminary September financials, WBAI pledge data from October 20th to the 27th, and financial trend data for the foundation.
Okay, I'm right now on the phone trying to get Lonnie on the phone. I'd like, could we list the things that we do not think require Lonnie's presence to do and adjust the agenda so that we're dealing with those?
Well, we can approve the minutes from the 9:24 meeting. We could go at these policy matters on interstation transfers and fund drive reporting. And interstation transfers.
May I also suggest, this is Alice, in our last P&B meeting, the issue of borrowing money was referred to our committee for some discussion at some point.
Yes. Are you talking about borrowing money? Is that interstation transfers?
No, Ambrose Lane's
suggestion. Oh, right.
At some point we need to.
Right. The foundation looking into borrowing money.
Right.
This is LaVarne. On the agenda, I don't think we have it really specifically on there, but usually we do a report back from each station, so maybe we can put that in when we don't need doesn't require Lonnie's participation, so we can do that, because I have information on our fund drive.
Lonnie should be on shortly. I spoke to Leilani. She's contacting him.
Good.
So I'm sorry I was off and didn't hear that last part.
This is LaVarne. I'll just repeat it. What I said is that usually we do a report from each station, and we can do that. It doesn't necessarily require as long as participation, and that I specifically had information on the fund drive, the latest fund drive.
I think if he is going to join us, those station reports would be better done once he's on, and I'd like to deal with the two policy issues, the discussion on unbudgeted and overbudgeted, what happens when unbudgeted or overbudgeted expenses occur, and also interstation transfers.
I think that's a good point, but the point I was making, the question was asked whether we needed Lonnie for certain things, and I'm telling you that we don't need Lonnie to give a station report because the individual person is given the station report.
Okay.
Understand?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Clear on that. But still, with that, can we start with the policy issues?
I'd like to move to approve the 9:24 minutes and get that out of the way.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the 9:24 minutes? Okay, hearing none, they're adopted. So, and actually, let us formally set the agenda right now. So, I would like to recommend we start with the policy discussion on the interstation transfer issue. The policy discussion on unbudgeted and overbudgeted items, and then by then we should and then the station reports.
There's also the discussion of just getting our fund drive information reported as a policy.
Okay, so let's do that after station reports, or do you want to do that before?
I don't care.
Okay, let's do it afterwards. Policy on fund drive reporting. Okay, and then we have the CFO report, the audit update, the WBI fund drive 1 week actuals, and the MEMSIS data incorporation, which is also, I think, part of the policy on fund drive reporting. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is the fund drive reporting
okay,
policy.
Okay, so let's do it that way. Is there any objection to doing things in that order? Okay, hearing none, then let's proceed. So the first item is the policy on interstation transfers. And just so, is that Lonnie?
Yeah, Lonnie here. Sorry.
Hey, Lonnie, how you doing?
Sorry, I've got all over my shop here.
No sweat. We've had the roll. We've approved the minutes of September 24th, and we adopted an agenda starting with the policy on interstation transfers, policy discussion on what to do about unbudgeted or overbudgeted items, how they're handled, reports from each of the stations on the fund drive, policy on incorporation of fund drive, of MEMSIS data into fund drive reporting and regular reporting, then your report, including the preliminary September numbers, year-end analysis, fiscal 05 updates, board governance and election projections, audit update, and the WBI fund drive 1 week actuals. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Awfully quick, but let's start into it, and I guess we can go through it.
Okay.
Is Lonnie aware that you've been elected chair?
Oh, yeah, I'm chair pro tem.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Alice.
Dallas, I'm not sure whether you're on the line. I brought up the PNB referring the issue of that Ambrose Lane had brought up to our committee.
Oh, good point.
And I'm not sure it should be discussed today, but I just want to make sure it's put on our agenda.
Well,
today
let's put it on the agenda in the policy section.
Okay.
After the policy discussion on unbudgeted transfers. So that was the request that the CFO investigate terms, investigate and report on terms for a line of credit of 25 or and 50.
Well, could we have a brief discussion? I'd like other people's memories on.
Can we wait till we get to it, Alex?
Yeah, fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first item is the policy on interstation transfers, and just to summarize the issue, there are times when, out of necessity, money needs to be moved from one unit to, not interstation transfers, inter-unit, because
yes,
that includes the archives. The money needs to be moved from one unit to another outside of what was budgeted. And the question was, how will and those things be handled? What will be the reporting or, and or approval? Is approval necessary? Who has the authority to do it? What do they need to do when they do it? So that's open for discussion. Or actually, if anybody has a motion on that, that would be.
Yeah, I have. I move that any unbudgeted interstation or inter-unit transfers be approved by the National Finance Committee. And if the National Finance Committee doesn't approve it, that it goes to the National Board.
I second that.
Is there some discussion?
I'd like a little clarification on what is meant by the inter-unit transfers. Specifically, are you talking about situations where the executive director would someone who's familiar with this, could you just actually explain the mechanism, how it takes place?
May I respond? I'd like to respond, and then Lonnie, if you would like to.
Yeah, I think we should clarify what we're talking about.
Okay. When I originally made the motion to discuss this, the issue was the fact that there had been amounts of money that had been levied on the stations to go, I believe, largely for legal expenses, but there may have been other things. And there was a lack of clarity at the time, for example, about whether they were, quote, loans or whether they were not loans, whether they would not be repaid, et cetera. And so the point was, and this wasn't meant for, small amounts of money or things like, for example, a given station picking up the cost of, for example, travel for certain people to certain meetings or what have you. But it might include that. But the idea was, if there's ever a cause where something comes up during the course of a year and chunks of money have to be moved, say from the stations to the national or from national to the stations to make up shortfalls, or stations to stations, et cetera, that there should be some process for A, reporting it, and B, being clear about what has happened and the status of those transfers. Are they a loan? Are they not a loan? And then there was the question of who would have the authority to do it and what approval, if any, but would be necessary to do it. So those are the issues. And by the way, I would like to time bind this so that we spend no more than 15 minutes on the discussion, if there's no objection to that.
Well, this is...
Wait, could we hear from Lonnie's response to...
Yeah, because we do have a motion on the floor.
Right.
I'm against that motion on the grounds it's too general and doesn't nearly cover what amounts to three or four different situations. Let's go through what past history has been just briefly. What are we talking about? What has happened might be useful. There are at least three or four different kinds of transfers that happen routinely between the national office and stations and vice versa. Let's go through the ones that I think, Dave, your initial idea related to, which is around legal transfers. And legal transfers, I think we're talking, my terminology would be assessments. We had outstanding legal bills that totaled, I think in the beginning of this fiscal, we were at $1.3 million. And as a part of the budgeting process, assessments, and those assessments to the stations in order to pay off those legal bills, in the context of a budget. So approval for certain kinds of assessments or transfers occur in the context of the budget.
And who, when you say, but those are budgeted assessments.
Yeah, they're budgeted. So we want to separate what's budgeted from unbudgeted, okay? Budgeted transfers are part of the budget process, and that's an example that I guess we have those in the new budget. We have $311,000 in legal bills, and they are part of the budget, and they are part of legal assessments, and they're transfers that will occur at some point during the year. Unbudgeted transfers occur in the context of the case of legal, and we're talking about legal now. Unbudgeted transfers in the legal area occurred over the past 2 or 3 years. They occurred because of a settlement with a particular litigant or new legal bills that come in that can't be by the national office. What's happened, as I understand it, certainly in the last year or two, what happens is that the amount, let's say it's $100, it's $100,000 or whatever that number is the formula that's been used has been that each of the three larger stations would be assessed 25% of that legal bill, and the two smaller stations would be assessed 12.5% of that total legal bill. And that's the formula that's been used.
And can I clarify, when you say an assessment, that we're distinguishing that, that is definitely not a loan. That is something that the stations pay, and that's that.
Yeah, it's not a loan because it's a legal bill, and beyond the capacity of the national office to pay it. And so those are not considered loans. They're considered assessments. That's why I'm using that terminology.
Can I ask another quick question? Is that a matter of policy at this point in terms of how those expenses are apportioned?
Yeah, and the at least practice, that's how it's. There have been some exceptions, but they've been the exception rather than the rule. That's generally been the policy.
And before you continue, Paul, I know we've agreed that the minutes are going to reflect motions, but when we get information of this sort from Lonnie, I think about existing policy and practice, I think it would be a good idea if the minutes reflected that. Is that something you can do, and is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, and I would like that in the record, too.
I think it's good to have a record.
Yeah, at least we know what we have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, well, let me just, because so far, Lonnie, I forget how many of these situations you were going to describe, but so far I have two situations, budgeted and unbudgeted legal assessments.
Area.
In one case it's budgeted through the budget process, in the other case it's stations are assessed at, you know, the percentages that you gave.
Right, budgeted and unbudgeted legal. That's two examples.
And the idea that we just talked about was the fact that legal assessments, unbudgeted legal assessments, there is an existing practice for how that those amounts are apportioned.
And
that is, again, the big stations pay
25%,
and then that's three stations at 25. I,
K, and
A are 25%, and then T and W are 12. That's
12
how
and
we
half.
Done it. On the level of assessment
for
following
legal.
That policy.
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's legal. And most of the assessments that we're talking about have been legal. I don't think there have been any other ones, really, that have been assessments in that regard. There are other kinds of transfers that occur are normal. Let's call them billbacks. Billbacks are items for which the national office initially puts out the cash to pay for it. Let's take elections as a good example. Elections are a part of the budgets of the stations, but the initial bills come here, and we have to put out the cash first normally because of deadlines and other factors. And then they're billed back to the amount of money involved, as you can see, can get quite large. So, for example, we have a bill around the elections, true ballot to folks who are conducting the elections for us, you know, they need a payment of $50,000. So what we do is we pay it out of national resources, and then we bill it back the next month to stations. A portion, I might add, with that on that 25-25-12.5 formula, if you look at your budgets at the stations for around the elections, you'll see that the larger stations have, the same amounts in their budget for elections, given our assessment what those election costs might be.
Question only, these are also, these billbacks of the sort that you just described so far, they are also budgeted right now, right?
Yeah, right now they are budgeted.
But the procedure by which money moves is sort of not part of the budget reporting process at the moment?
Well, we've always, the National Office on these issues usually pays it out, you know, out of our pocket, and then we bill it back. And that's sort of,
but in terms of the accounting, what happens when those transactions happen?
Well, it becomes a receivable to the National Office and an expense to the stations, and you'll see in their budgets, they have budgets to cover those expenses. Say, in this case, we're talking about the election process.
May I ask a question? On the monthly income and expense reports that we get?
Yeah.
When you pay the $50,000 out of the National Office, but the stations haven't repaid their share back yet?
Yeah.
Where does the $50,000 election expense show up? Does it show up as a station expense or a national expense?
It'll show up as a station expense.
Okay, thank you. So
yeah, sure.
We're comparing it against the budget and how we're doing on the budget when we're looking at that report.
But the best way is you look at that station budget. Say
right.
You'll have $38,000 for the larger stations.
Right.
Yeah.
Bonnie, could I ask, it's Alice. I'm not sure whether I heard you say that in the case of these budgeted billback transfers, all stations, like with the elections thing with True Ballot, paid the same amount in this case?
Using that 25-25.
It's still in that proportion?
Yes, still.
Okay, thank you.
Budget, but, you know, now we're in a situation where this election might cost more.
Right.
Than we anticipated. So those line items, month one, will start to
shift.
Yep.
Could I come in here and say we're not talking about the issue that's of concern, really? But we're talking, I thought the issue of concern was unbudgeted transfers.
Well, but
and so far, these are budgeted transfers, so I'd kind of like to speculate about what unbudgeted kinds of events might happen, unanticipated, we'd have to have an unbudgeted transfer of money from one place to another to cover an unexpected expense.
Well, if I may, I think it's useful because these are transfers that are happening in some sense. There's money being moved that wasn't nominally in that budget, but now when you're talking about, for example, election overruns, that will be on. I think it lays a decent framework or background.
Yeah, just to be
too.
Let's go to truly unbudgeted items. Let's just say building burned down.
Let's not say that.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, whatever.
Right. Full moon and all that. This is Sandy in Houston. I've been on for about 15 minutes.
Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you.
That's circumstance. And let's talk about substantial, because I'm not talking about minor items, $500 or whatever, small items. Let's say substantial. And how that's defined, we can go into later. And I think it needs to be defined what substantial would be.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there is no, it's not in anyone's budget. It's not in the National Office budget. It's not in the station's budget. It works both ways, by the way. The stations have unbudgeted items as well as National does.
Sure.
Question of how do you pay for it? And, you know, the way it has, you know, with a new LSB, doing budget monitoring, we're now in a different situation than even we were last year. Let's take an unbudgeted item, and that might be an unanticipated budgeted item. It might be because of a need to buy, I don't know, some
widgets.
Yeah, whatever, something new. And let's say it's $100,000, $50,000, $25,000, pick a number. How do we handle that? The answer is true. We don't have a policy because there are two or three people or groups involved. The LSB might want to weigh in on an unbudgeted item, may want to be apprised of it, may want to approve of it. The CFO may want to be apprised and approve of it. The Finance Committee may want to. So you now have three or four distinct entities that may want to be involved in this unbudgeted item. Question, how do we approve or move through that process?
Exactly.
We have to approve an unbudgeted item. That's just the, that's just, say, before the expense has occurred, but if some of them were emergencies, and after the expense has occurred. we do not have a procedure because we have a new situation. Now, I do have proposals around that, what we should do. Some of them are items that we will have to pay for whether we want to or not. There may be emergency or health-related or whatever. Those are different in my mind than ones that have some optionality to them. So it gets complicated fast. Now, to move on to the loan issue, where transactions, and I'm assuming in the past, has occurred, where a station may be under the impression that a transfer was a loan, and the national office at some time in the past might have assumed that it's a gift transfer, and which I'm assuming has caused some consternation, at least. Now, what do you do about that? That's a past situation. The forward situation, I'm assuming, will be fairly easy to do. But let's assume that the problem we really have is the past situation. What to do? Talking with the auditors about it yesterday, because it was high on my list as well. What are we going to do about that?
Lonnie, before you go there, I'm not clear that that is what... I do think that's a separate issue. My notion of this is a policy going forward for how we're going to deal with things that aren't expected when money moves between units. So to me, it's not a retrospective question of the policy on what do we do about past things that happened.
Well, you
That's
know,
right. I agree. I mean, we need to have a policy going forward.
Yeah, we can talk about that other issue, but I do see it as a separate issue.
Yes, but remember, we here at the Finance Committee did ask.
This is LaVarne. I just want to add on to what was said. I think Lonnie was speaking about adding layers of approval for things that are out of the budget, and I can't recall of anything like that happening at KPFA. So, again, I think what we're speaking to now is to set up a policy, because we also try to have a process where in LSP meetings we have the general manager there so that we can ask questions about things that are out of budget, and that person can address those issues at that time. So for Lonnie to go through this whole scenario of saying that the LSPs have added layers of approval, that's totally incorrect, and I haven't seen that happen at KPFA. Again, I think, excuse me, may I finish?
Sorry.
So I think what we need to do is just to, again, look at the policy, develop a policy, and move forward.
If I may, I think we're developing policies, because what I'm hearing is a number of different situations, and I don't see us doing this all in one swallow, but we should get some clarity about the different kinds of situations and then work on them. And at least what I was hearing Lonnie say was the different LSBs may have different ways they want to be dealing with it or are already dealing with it or think they ought, et cetera.
No, this is LaVarne again. I think that, again, I'm speaking to KPFA. I don't think those are the scenario that Lonnie had pointed out in terms of adding layers to this approval and perhaps holding things up. That has never happened. And I think that when you talk about policies, it's kind of like adding internets. But anyway, we can move forward.
If I may, I'd like to come in.
Well, and then we'll go back to Lonnie.
Okay. For me, it just sound fiscal policy and practice means we know that if something wasn't in the budget and wasn't planned in advance, which is going to happen to us often as we go forward because life is like that, we know how we're going to deal with it. And if an emergency happens at the national level where the national office needs money to come out of the station bank accounts that wasn't budgeted, we need some place where it's explained what the emergency is and it approves that we're going to do the transfer. If something happens at a station level that wasn't in the budget, lightning hits the tower, something happens, and the station needs to borrow or needs funds from somewhere else in the network to cover it, we need a place where that is discussed and the decision is made to authorize the transfer of funds. That wouldn't happen if the station had its own reserves somewhere, but let's say it doesn't have its own reserves. Then it has to come out of WBAI's reserves or something, you know. So what I'm thinking about is the very big picture of how do we handle unanticipated transfers of funds that were raised somewhere and intended for someplace that are now going to go someplace else? That's what I want to know.
Okay, well, so can we go back to Lonnie to continue laying out the different kinds of things that happen?
Yes, that that since we do have a motion on the floor, and presumably this is a discussion.
Right.
I would have a counter proposal that does hear Carol is suggesting. I don't think the existing motion does that work for us, does get that job done. So I'm wondering if we could table that motion and go to a motion that has more specifics that does outline steps in the approval and an approval process around unanticipated.
Well, what I think we should do is if you have a substitute motion, you can make it, but I think it would be positive for us to just continue this. I mean, what I would personally like is for us to continue this discussion, get a little more clarity about the kinds of things. If we feel ready to act, then we can act in this meeting, but I'm thinking it's going to take more than just this single discussion to get us there. And so if we get to, we're at time now. I said I would like to spend 15 minutes on it. I think we should spend a little more time on it. And how do people feel about it at the end, after we've spent, let's say, another 15 minutes on this, we can either choose to act on the motion or to table it till next time and continue, whereupon people may come up with amendments or substitute motions after they've had a chance to think about it further. Is there any objection to doing it that way?
Yeah, we've been on this call for 45 minutes, and we're on our first agenda item, so timing starts to get to be an issue.
Okay.
Maybe if we want to have more discussion about this, we need to understand we're going to have to take something else off the agenda.
Okay. Well, in that case, would anybody like to make a motion to extend the time on this item? If not, we'll move on.
I still move.
Can I clarify? Clarification?
I'd just like the motion to include how much time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
15 minutes, assuming that we eliminate some other agenda item.
Well, just make the motion.
I move that we extend this discussion on this agenda item for 15 minutes.
Is there a second to that?
A second.
Is there any objection to doing that? Okay, we heard Carol's objection. Are there any further objections? Okay, then.
Actually, I don't object. I just wanted to point it out.
Okay.
Somebody's going to lose a discussion on some other important matter.
If there's no objection, then let's go to 1:30 on this.
Clarification?
Yes.
Well, your suggestion around intent of the further discussion period, is our goal to come up with a motion policy in this extended period, or are we moving with the assumption that we may not and need more discussion?
I think the matter is that we have a motion before us. If at some point in the discussion somebody would like to make a substitute or amendment, that's in order. If we get to the end of the period, then we'll dispense with the motion either by voting on it or tabling it.
Okay, if this is Carol, I would like to say that my motion that any unbudgeted transfers be approved by the National Finance Committee doesn't mean or preclude that there might not be other bodies that would approve them and send them to the National Finance Committee.
Okay,
such
but that's
the CFO or the LSB.
But in terms of how we're going
to
yes, Paul?
From my perspective at this stage, that motion would have to be amended to specify, you know, what is meant by unbudgeted interstation transfers.
I agree.
So,
because we don't have a working definition of that yet. But, Lonnie, are you okay with going forward on the basis that we just outlined?
Yeah, I think we do need a little bit more discussion.
Then when it's appropriate, there can be a motion to table to a specified time, such as the next meeting.
Are there any limits to these transfers? This is Sandy. In other words, is there a monetary limit per transfer in any one situation from any of the individual stations or in total?
No, it's usually to match up against any existing bills. We've done it mostly with legal, so that's been our prime example.
Lonnie, could you complete what you had started out, had you completed the various situations under which transfers occur, or were there any others?
Three or four. There another kind of transfer that occurs routinely is we transfer from the stations. They transfer to the national office's bank account, payroll. Those are transfers. That's why transfer is not a great word, because it covers so many situations. We routinely make transfers between the national office and the stations around payment of health benefits. Some of these are paid out of the national office, and stations have to make those transfers for us to pay those bills.
But again, those are budgeted transfers.
Yeah, they are part of the budgeted transfer scenario.
Do they become unbudgeted if, for example, stations hire people who weren't, or positions, you know, like last year, we had positions that weren't budgeted. We brought people on. Did that lead to some unbudgeted transfers of the sort that you just described?
Yeah, it does. I mean, they have to get paid for, and that means that the payroll amount will go up, and that may, of course, that may impact the budgeted amount for payroll, and there you go, the transfer.
But Lonnie, that's not a transfer of national office money to the station. It's actually using the station money to pay their unbudgeted payroll expense, right?
Well, yeah, it's coming out of the station. It's not money
it's not money that we're taking from a national reserve somewhere to cover an unbudgeted station expense.
That's right.
It's a station overrunning its budget.
That's right.
Thank you.
Lonnie?
Can we just let him get through this section, because I think he's
has another kind of transfer.
Having it organized in his mind.
Another kind of transfer that's a very ticklish transfer, and that is, when we talk about transfers, we're not just talking about unbudgeted transfers or what have you. We're talking about transfer of surpluses. Say a station makes $100,000 more in its drive than it budgeted for.
Then there's 20%.
What you've got there is a situation that many organizations come up against. Who owns that surplus? The station may say, oh, we've got our extra $100,000 minus whatever, $20,000 or 20%. We've got $80,000. We can spend it any way we want. That can be as big of a problem as unbudgeted. So transfers of monies that come from surpluses or even accumulated reserves over years is where we also, I think, need policy. And otherwise, it sits there as unaccounted for funds. And how shall we develop policy around the use of those funds? That's a big separate area, and I think one that, as far as dollars are concerned, can be as large as any other transfers we may talk about.
But still, that isn't in the area of transfers. That's unbudgeted surplus or unbudgeted deficit.
No, it's a transfer because it is between. It's inside
between
the
units.
Yes, it's inside the station, but it's still a transfer. Box A to box B.
Yeah, but Lonnie? We're specifying here on inter-unit transfers.
Yes, I understand, but I'm saying as far as financial impact, that too we should look.
Yeah, no question.
All right.
Are you, does that exhaust your...
Yeah, I won't take any more time.
Okay.
That's
it. So, Alice, you had a response?
Yeah, well, I have a question about... I gather in the five stations that there's a kind of gray area, or at least this is my perception so far, of how one is allowed at a station to go above the budget. I gather it's not just emergencies, but, you know, if somebody's being hired or something, it seems to me that there's not a real cap on the budget so far in each station. In other words, there's some leeway that people have been used to at the stations to go above their budgets without...
Alice, I appreciate the question, but I do think it's not relevant necessarily to the question of inter-unit transfer. I think when the next item on this agenda is unbudgeted, how we deal with unbudget and over-budget items within units.
Okay,
can we reserve that part?
Thank you, sorry.
Good. Is there anything else on the question of unbudgeted inter-unit transfers?
Well, when you look back over the audits over the years, you see that stations accumulate reserves, and they spend down those reserves generally for capital expenses, but sometimes there's a capital expense somewhere else in the network And we have this whole category in the budget called interdivision loans, receivables and payables. And Lord only knows what's in there at this point, or how they got there. And I'm interested in that. For instance, if KPFA or KPFK were to raise a couple hundred thousand dollars more this year than we had budgeted to spend, and let's say we kept our spending within budget, we then have, this is what Lonnie was talking about, we then have excess income over expenses for the year, which then I think we need to begin thinking about using that money for capital expenses, developing capital budgets or capital campaigns, and whether or not when KPFA or KPFT's listeners contribute more money than was budgeted to the station, whether that money should stay at that station for upgrades and improvements. So that's one area of inter-unit transfers that Lonnie brought up that wasn't really in my mind when I thought about this policy, but it is something we need to address. And then we just need to address what happens if KPFA's fund drive were to tank and we had an emergency need. We had to cover our payroll and we didn't have the money in the bank. What kind of policy? We need a policy that has a set of approvals on transferring the money from someplace where it is to someplace where it's needed. And I see those as two different kinds of inter-unit transfers, both of which are reasonably foreseeable that they would happen at some time or another. And I would like us to be clear, one, that they don't happen without the National Finance Committee knowing about it, which is why I think the National Finance Committee should be required to approve. And then for capital expenses, I put that over there in one kind of policy, but maybe address it later. But for emergency expenses, I'd like to talk about, Lonnie, what kinds of things you think would need to happen. Suppose that a station didn't meet its fund drive goals, didn't have the reserves to cover its payroll. National can't cover the payroll because you live month to month there. What kind of a policy would you recommend to go and borrow money from KPFA to pay it? Would you recommend that both the BAI and the KPFA LSB approve it and you approve it and then bring it to the National Finance Committee? In the meanwhile, people are waiting for their paychecks or what other... what do you think would work?
I think that in that example, the first thing has to happen is that we must have an emergency policy where National Office just makes sure payrolls are met. I think that should be part of our policy for a period of 10 or 12, to meet payroll. And then that it should also be brought to the attention of the LSB. They are partners in this process. And then it will be understood that where the amounts exceed some figure that we can look at, should be brought to the National Finance Committee for review and approval of those items. I think that a two-step policy, one policy has two components. One of them is that all budgeted line items that appear to be under or over by 5%, I'm using 5% as just a percentage because that's what many organizations do, that cuts down on having everything go to the finance or everything go to the board. But let's take all budgeted items that are exceeded by 5% or under expended by 5%, require the review and or approval of the National Finance Committee. Now, that's a catch-all policy. That means that in our monthly looks at the finances, we're looking at things that are over-budgeted and under-budgeted, so those are caught in that process.
But that's not a unit transfer.
Carol,
Now, on transfers.
I'd like to respond to that.
I was saying three steps policy is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would like us to see that we take the situations that we know come up from time to time, that we do develop policy around it, and that as long as the national office operates within that policy, the requirement's just a reporting requirement.
Yeah,
but if they have to go outside or there's something that's beyond that, then there would be an approval, because I do think it's important that the national office be able to act without a large bureaucratic overhang. As long as we all agree what that action's going to be and it's reported in a timely fashion, preferably pre-reported rather than post-reported. In fact, maybe we would mandate that, but that would be my opinion. So, Carol, did you have something additional?
Yeah, over and under budget expenditures are not the topic we're discussing right now.
Yeah, I was going to do it in three
we're
layers.
My question was, suppose WBAI has more expenses this month than it has cash to cover, and the cash has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it gets transferred from somewhere to WBAI's bank account. That's the policy I'd like. That's what I'd like to know. How you think that should happen?
I think that that aside from the policy I just enunciated, which actually covers that eventuality, under budgeted and over budgeted items do cover shortfalls against the budget. But I think that two policies are what we need. One is the one I just enunciated around a general policy so that we cover it. Then a second policy around emergency, that is, in an emergency situation, a national office will be empowered where possible to ensure that payments that may be deemed emergency payments, like legal and or payroll, and those are ones that affect the ability of a station to function, and those would be my three caveats, be empowered to provide funds on an emergency basis and in a timely way forward information about that situation to the National Finance Office for review and or approval.
Okay, we're at time for the discussion. I would like to know if the group would be willing to set this on the table until next time so people can come think about it, come up with some additional language, more nuanced language, more specific language, and we would add this to the agenda next item to continue this question. Is there any objection to tabling this until our next meeting?
I move to table to continue the discussion next meeting.
Any
is it possible before we do that to get one piece of clarification on the last, and I'll need it for the minutes as well.
Go ahead.
Lonnie, you, on the second policy to cover emergency payments,
yes.
I didn't hear what the mechanism was to cover those types of payments.
And where the national office has the capacity to cover those emergency payments.
Oh, okay. Just out of the national office funds?
Out of our funds, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any objection to tabling till next meeting?
This is Levine. I just have a point of clarification. The discussion that we've had, and it's been very good. Is there any way Lonnie or one of us can... maybe Paul and his notes can like send out a brief outline of what we've talked about, so the next meeting we will have this to look at and cover.
Yeah, well, I'll put it in the notes. I'll try to get these minutes out over the weekend, and I think that maybe Lonnie could serve as a framework for Lonnie, because he'll probably want to clarify some of the things that I put into the minutes.
Okay. That's exactly what
okay,
I was asking.
Okay, then I'd like to, if there's no objection, I'd like to move the agenda, and it's a very closely related item, which is policy on how we're going to handle unbudgeted and over-budgeted items, and I assume that this is within units now. And I'd like to leave 20 minutes for this discussion. And I don't think that it's appropriate to operate from a motion at this moment. I think it also needs a discussion. If anybody would like to make a motion, they're welcome to, but I think we should just start with discussion. So would anybody like to speak to this?
Well, Lonnie mentioned that we should, at the national committee, which is the committee we run as opposed to the local committees, review anything that's off budget by 5%. That, as a general caveat, makes sense to me, although there might be, you know, very small budget items where the line item is $1,000, and if it's over or under by 5%, it's so insignificant. But just taking note of anything that's going over budget by 5% and having a discussion about it and deciding whether at the time we need to do something to cut the expenses because it's going over budget, or whether we need to cut expenses somewhere else, and you know, how are we going to deal with a problem that becomes apparent. It seems to me a 5% flag is a good idea, and I would like it when we get our income statements monthly that they do show us if we're over or under by 5%. They do already show us that we actually get a little explanation, in written explanation. Well, this is over by 15% because we're paying in advance and we budgeted to spread it out over the year, but we're going to be all right for the year or something, so that we don't necessarily have to spend a great deal of time discussing insignificant things, but significant things we could discuss.
I think that there are certain, again, different classes of these things that maybe, again, we need a certain policy on it. The LSB down in L.A. said, at least for our own station, that we wanted part of our budget approval process to include a contingency plan in the event of shortfalls or surpluses. And so that what we said is, in the event of any surplus, that surplus will be spent in the area of training and developing the news department, neither of which had, I mean, there was no training budget this year, and there was very little in news for news training. So we said, okay, that's where surpluses will go. Shortfalls, we talked about them coming out of reductions in time across the board rather than, for example, the elimination of positions, et cetera, because a lot of the expenses on other things were fixed expenses. So we did that. I think there are specific situations, like, for example, hiring somebody you didn't plan to hire. Let's say, like, take KPFK's case last year. You have a fund drive, and it's, like, going far beyond what you expected in terms of the volume of work. You're bringing in lots of money. So you have to have people to assist with fulfillment and data entry and the rest of it that you didn't budget for, and you bring them on. So when or there are other cases where you have a consultant or you have a position, you find you have money, like Ilvani said, you have excess money, you want to spend it. So the question of how unbudgeted positions get authorized, particularly temp positions, how what is done with unbudgeted surpluses, et cetera, those are that are not spent on payroll. Those are different classes of things, and I do think that what we should shoot for is policy where possible to handle it, and then reporting as long as it's within policy, and then for cases where it's outside, an approval process.
Oh, Dave?
Yes.
That was approved by the OSB as part
yes.
of your budget?
Yes.
Could you post that or email me? I'd be very interested in seeing that and sharing it with our LSP.
Sure. The whole idea was what caused stress and strain at the station was the feeling that, you know, things happened without anybody understanding why or having had input to it. So we wanted, and we recognized that the way things kind of hurtle along at the station, so we just wanted to be in agreement ahead of time so that if things went wrong, everybody knew what was going to happen, and nobody felt it was capricious. And if things went great, everybody knew where the money was going to get spent, and
right.
nobody felt it was capricious.
Part of what I'm trying to get a grip on is the timing of when we become aware of these things. You know, on the national committee level, we become aware of variances, ideally 3 weeks. A minimum of 3 weeks after the fact, right?
A maximum of 3 weeks after the fact.
Well, if the thing occurred in the beginning of the previous month, it could have occurred 7 weeks.
You're right, Paul. We get our income statements, we at least aim to get our income statements the third week of the following month.
Yeah, so I mean, we're getting the as far as the National Committee acting on something, I mean, we would be acting far after the fact. And I'm wondering, and we haven't quite clarified this locally, and Lonnie, are there sort of interim reports that are processed at the local level, you know, that appear much earlier than when the official reports come out? So that, in other words, so that we could, say, catch a variance, a 5% variance, you know, maybe within a couple of weeks of its occurrence?
Well, yeah, you know, your business managers are the ones who are inputting data in the course of a given month. They're doing that around the second week because many invoices don't come in until then. And I start dealing with them in the third week. But your question is about where a situation where if a bill has come through that looks like it's going to break the budget. Remember, many times there's money in the budget already. Many of these things don't show up as serious issues as you move toward the end of the fiscal. And you've got accumulated expense, and it's clear that it's going to go over the budget. But in the beginning of a fiscal, unless you're operating on a strict monthly budget, an item may very well exceed a budgeted amount for a given month, but then it will be less in the following months and therefore not an issue. But to answer your question directly, the business manager would be the first one to know. Now, an unbudgeted item that has no budget line item associated with it. So that would be the first one to know, aside from it. And then the rationale around that would be, then I would notice it. I'd maybe call the business managers hold monthly meetings with all the business managers. And then if I had questions, I would ask what the item about specific items, both on the group call and then any individual follow-up I needed to do. But I don't know of a way to do it prior to getting explanations, you know, for what happened. Sometimes there's a problem, sometimes there isn't.
I have a question, Lonnie.
Yeah.
Suppose I'm thinking of an actual example that is in my memory bank from some year that I don't remember when. KPFA wanted to upgrade the phone system. It was a big bill. And they asked for authorization to place the order. In other words, they didn't spend the money without authorization to spend it. And they filled out a form saying, we want to spend $75,000 on the phone system. These numbers are just makeup because I don't remember what it was. And they said, and it is in the budget. You look at the budget line item and you see that it was budgeted, but it wasn't budgeted for November. It was spread out over the year. So the authorization went through to spend the money in advance because it was a large enough item to trigger that kind of a system. Have you thought of doing something like that, like an expense that's, say, over $10,000? You have to get authorization to spend it by referencing that, yes, it is in the budget, we budgeted for it, or no, it is not in the budget, but we have raised extra funds to cover it, or we're going to cut expenses somewhere else to cover it. Is there some way that we could have a system like that?
Yeah.
So that we don't have the money spent before we notice the problem.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to have that network-wide.
Yes.
Because that is our biggest issue, is that we don't have financial impact. Not so much statements, but the financial impact comments around any action that we take that potential needs a rationale. And even if the rationale, say it's a perfectly legitimate and it's perfectly, say something like a phone system.
Right.
It might be perfectly legitimate in year one, but it does assume that revenue in year two will be at a similar level, and we don't make that assumption. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, if you're hiring staff, that's...
Yeah.
But if it's a one-time expense for equipment, that's not the case.
It usually would be in a lease. years. So, unless it's the equipment that, you know, one-time purchase and you're out the door. But so I don't know. It's complicated. But my off the top of my